Little Diamond Dave to get us rolling. A Message in the Bottle brought to you by Bangor Wine and Cheese Company, 86 Hammond Street in Bangor. Welcome, Eric. Welcome.
Thank you.
Where's your baton?
Bless that man and bless his ways. Van Halen 1984 was one of the first tapes I was ever given by my elder brother, Gary. It was very important. And we just continued on. In fact, I think he may have played every single David Lee Roth album for me, like forcibly, and Appetite for Destruction. Thanks, Gary.
Yeah.
I really owe you.
Sure do. Darn right.
However, Gary doesn't follow the football, so he can't help me tonight. If anybody out there has any tips on drafting a fantasy league, I could use them. Actually, a prior guest, Gene Beck.
Yeah, you're both in the same league.
He and I are both absolutely ruined. We're both out. I think it's $50 this year.
Ooh.
Yeah, that's bad. I don't know why I get involved. It's like going to a casino. Like, at least it's just 50. And that's where, you draw the limit and that's it.
Is this an in-person draft tonight? Or online?
It's online. We have the commissioner is my neighbor, and Gene lives about two streets away from us, so we could be in person, but I think I'm probably going to be home with my family because, first day of school for all three of my beloved ones, so I'm probably going to be there and then be like, be quiet, I got to do this.
Yeah, I'm drafting!
And then it's like, okay, I've got 2 minutes until, okay, 1.5 minutes. How was your day? Actually, you know what? Hang on. Yeah. They just took Edelman. Hang on.
I need a wide receiver.
Eric, I understand. You want it? Okay, family time, sure. And that's going to be my life tonight. No,
it's not. But then there's something to pin a bad draft on later on.
That's right. It was my children's fault.
You guys who did well, that's fine. I put my family first.
This is the truth. So we're all on this chat group or whatever, and a number of us, including, in fact, Gene was the one who started it today. He said, I've done a number of these mock drafts, and I keep getting a grade of D.
That's what he told us.
Yeah. And then I went and did it, and I got a grade of D. I just did one. I didn't do multiple because, frankly, they take too damn. And then another guy turned in. He's like, D's. I'm like, this is insane. I want to see if the pros would do this because I don't know how badly you can do when only so many teams are drafting. Like you're picking from the top players in the league. Like how bad could you be doing? Yeah. So I don't know. I think GMs, like real GMs, are the ones that set this whole thing up. They're like, these people think they're so smart.
Right.
Everybody's got their Monday morning quarterback column. I'm going to show them. He is over people I picked. He was being drafted. They have this, whatever the heck it is, average draft position or whatever it is. And he's like 121 out of every player possible. People are really, out of people who are suspended but coming back, who have legit, but that is the power of the Boston sports market.
Yeah,
every dude named Sully is out there with him on the bench.
Right.
Because,
I'm telling you, Gronk's coming back.
Playoffs.
Yep.
Playoffs. He didn't say no. Yep. He said just not this week.
Right.
Oh, man, that's amazing. And what's funny is I'm in the wine business, right? Like wine is every bit as like gambly and hit or miss. And this is true. I mean, think about it, folks. All these people, even people with great vineyards, are in places that suffer from hail, which will all of a sudden wipe out 75% of their crop, right? Like there's a reason when we talk about some of these old vineyards, right? Getting into that, the reason I'm here is that they planted, and we talked about this, was it last week, a couple of weeks ago, about plants and stuff like this. Like, they planted different grapes so that they would cut their losses when this didn't ripen or this happened or this particular blight, which loved Pinot Gris or whatever. It's really amazing, that today we're so confident, just like the GMs of football, we're so confident that we're going to pin all of our hopes and, a lot of our bankroll. Again, winemakers too, remember when for instance, phylloxera hit Europe, a lot of banks went out of business, not just winemakers, banks went out of business because agriculture, and the wine part of the business is so big to a lot of these countries. And so, back in the day, people really tried to sort of mix it up. And indeed, for instance, our wine of the week at Bangor Wine, this family, it's the Faro family currently, but they've been, I think the first recorded wine business was 1733 for this family, but they also grew olives. They grew cherries. They grew other things because, frankly, pinning all your hopes on one thing is a big gamble. So let's talk about California.
Let's do it.
It has nothing to do with the Faro family yet, but the Faros are growing, and it's just a matter of time probably before they buy land in California. Excuse me. Ah, tasty Bangor water. Mm. So California, I mean, who doesn't have their own personal opinion of California, and especially of California wine, and does California deserve that? Yeah. Yeah, they've really, really earned themselves both really good and really bad reputation. And California, sort of in a microcosm, is amazing because no single place in the world went from relatively unknown and untrodden to one of the world's superpowers in terms of wine production, right? So I want to talk today about how it sort of sprang to life, and then next week we'll talk a little bit about more of the origins of the California wine industry. But it's really essential to bear in mind that California, I mean, imagine it on a map, right? Like it's 2/3 of the West Coast of the United States of America. It's very, very large. It's one of the largest economies, not just in America, but in the world, right? It's its own beast in a lot of ways, a lot of different climates all encompassed in it. You know, you can go skiing in the morning and then swimming in the Pacific in the afternoon, and you're still in, you know, within the same region. So subsequently, you actually have a lot of really, really excellent vineyard land, you know, because a lot of the vineyard lands that's really fertile, or I'm sorry, rather a lot of the agricultural lands that's really fertile, you know, you don't really want to touch that necessarily with vines because vines like to struggle, right? So you can let a lot of the other really wonderful stuff grow where it wants to grow. And then up on some of these more desolate hillsides, you can start planting vines. And what essentially happened is a lot of the European winemakers started coming over. Of course, there was a massive wave of immigration following the phylloxera blight that I just mentioned a couple of minutes ago, which brought winemakers to both Americas. And then, of course, you had war and a lot of people, including some very, very important winemakers that we'll start to talk about next week, came over because they were, you know, of descent that wasn't so popular in Europe at the time. A lot of Polish people and people of Jewish origin. Germans that didn't want to get involved, Italians that didn't want to get involved, French that didn't want to get involved, and you know, understandably so. I mean, their entire continent was being torn apart. So they started planning in the European tradition, and what essentially happened, what we're going to talk about today, is this thing called the Judgment of Paris. Mm-hmm. A guy named Steve Spurrier, who, not the old ball coach of football fame, but Steve Spurrier is an English merchant, and he created a shop much like Bangor Wine and Cheese, off of one of the main streets in the, essentially the Wall Street district of Paris at the time, right? A lot of financiers and things like that. And they would come into his shop and they would buy his wines and he would source these wonderful Bordeaux and things like that. And he became curious about these nascent California winemakers. And so he held in 1976 in the Hotel de Ville, not the Hotel de Ville, that's the City Hall, but the, whatever it is, the Grand Hotel in Paris. I'm making that up. but he had a panel, and they were all French journalists and things like this. And he brought in some California wines, cabs to go against famous red Bordeaux, and then Chardonnays from California to go against white Burgundy, which is, if you recall, Chardonnay by law. And long story short, the California wines won. And the wine we're drinking tonight is from Stag's Leap Wine Cellars. Stag's Leap Cabernet won out over many, many, many chateaux that whose names you're very familiar with and whose bottles cost an awful lot of money. And Chateau Montelena Chardonnay from California won out over many white Burgundy houses, which we also know and love and don't want to spend a fortune for. Right now we're drinking a Chardonnay actually from Stag's Leap, so it kind of cross-germinated there. Stag's Leap is a district as well in the Napa region. And essentially, as I said, what this did was all of a sudden on the world stage say, all right, California's legit. These are old world styles. And then, of course, what ended up happening is we still have really, really excellent wines made from California. And then corporations took hold and made product from the rest of California because, as I mentioned, it's very fertile. And you can just grow a lot of plonky grapes. But this is the origins of California. Judgment of Paris, 19. I am running out of time, so I'll remind you that we have the Maine Cheese Festival this Sunday in Pittsfield. Tickets are still available on Eventbrite, and there is an early bird opening at 10, and then general admission. We will be, Morgan and I, my manager, will be at the cheese bar, as well as handing out free cheese samples and talking with y'all. And then on the 19th of this month, we will have tasting, and I would look forward to seeing you at both of those events, and we will see you here next week, and we'll talk about the origins of California wine. Cheers.
Thanks, Eric. Two words, Jacoby Brissett. Just keep that in mind.
Did.
All right, there you go.